Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Wake up, y'all. We got Six News basketball today. Good morning on this day, Wednesday, January 8th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you for starting your day with me on this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update. Hump Day Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, y'all. A busy week in Sixers basketball this week. And, you know, me and the Clap Your Hands podcast network, I'll say, group of hosts are keeping you kind of up to date with everything you need to know in Sixers land. So make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter for the podcast, staying up to date on everything Sixers basketball. It's a game day, right? So we will set the schedule. I'll go through some scores and from some teams around the league we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, some injury news, some regular news, and then on the other side of the break, I will get into my analysis. Three things to watch for. Sixers go and take on the Wizards tonight at the Wells Fargo Center at home in the midst of a three-game little home stand. That's what the schedule has us at right now for the Sixers tonight against the Washington Wizards. They go up against the Wizards at 7 p.m., like I said, at the Wells Fargo Center. It'll be the first meeting with the Sixers they have with the Wizards this season. They haven't played them yet. Played them the last time in February was a win in Washington. Hopefully, it'll be a win again tonight, like I said, 7 p.m. For the second of three straight games at home at the Wells Fargo Center for the Sixers. So let's get into some scores, some teams around the league we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. The Wizards themselves are actually coming off a back-to-back. They lost in Houston last night, 135-112. Or they lost in Washington, I should say, 135-112 to the Houston Rockets, who maintain a pretty good 24-12 record overall, staying right in the thick of things right there in the Western Conference. Jalen Green led all scorers with 29 points. All five starters for the Rockets were in double figures, including Cam Whitmore with 17 off the bench. So you would think all is good in Rockets land, right? They get another good win. They're staying right in the midst of the playoff race in the Western Conference. Jalen Green's playing well. Alperen Sengun is playing well. Amon Thompson's playing well. It's all good, right? But you kind of noticed something weird. Cam Whitmore walking off the court last night all quickly, even after a win, not really dapping or talking to his teammates. You saw Jalen Green after the game talking to, I believe it was Tari Eason, about, you know, just a situation that happened, and it looked like Jalen Green was describing a play in which Cam Whitmore pushed Jalen Green, and Jalen Green was talking about how, you know, he didn't like it and whatever the case may be. So, you know, the record might be good. They might be playing well. It doesn't seem that all is great in Rockets land, but that's a whole other conference, a whole other team. We don't really have to worry about the Wizards. 6-28 overall, 5-15 at home. Catch the loss. Leading scorer in the game was Corey Kispert off the bench with 23. So not really what you want to say. Jordan Poole did not play in the game last night. So that is interesting that he is not in the lineup. Let's go to some more scores, because some teams that the Sixers needed to lose did not really help them out. The Atlanta Hawks got a wild win in Utah off a Trae Young half-court buzzer beater last night. He led the Hawks in scoring with 24. Larry Markkanen was the leader in the game with 35 points. But final seconds of the game coming, 10 seconds or less, Colin Sexton hits a tray ball from the left slot to tie the game at 121. The Hawks have no timeouts. They inbound it inbound the ball really quick. Trey Young heaves it up from midcourt cash, man. Nothing but net. And they walk it off. He does the ice Trey Selly at midcourt and waves goodbye to the Utah fans. It was a crazy game. Atlanta, I should say, excuse me, moving to 19-8 and 9-11 on the road. But a great and just, you know, very exciting win for the Atlanta Hawks last night and Trey Young as they still teeter around that 500. One thing the Hawks are going to do is they're going to teeter around 500, 24-20 for Trey Young. In the victory, it was crazy. It was a crazy game, kind of crazy finish to watch. The Miami Heat also, you know, just continue to keep their head above water a little bit, winning in Golden State 114-98, first game without Jimmy Butler amidst his seventh game suspension. It was Nikola Jovic that led the way for them. He had 20 points. Tyler Herro only had 14, but it's all they needed. And the victory, highest scoring output was Nikola Jovic with 20 off the bench, 19 for Tyler Herro, 18 for Jaime Jaquez Jr. The Warriors got a real struggling effort behind Steph Curry, 31 for Steph Curry, but 19 for Trayce Jackson-Davis was the next biggest help he got, 11 for Buddy Hield off the bench. You know, the Warriors still need to figure out how it's going to kind of form around Steph Curry if they want to be a playoff team, be a contending team. They're going to have to put a little bit more pieces around Steph Curry. They're struggling. But the Heat get the win, 114-98. And then Boston capped off the night with a win in Denver, 118-106. This game was really close. If you were able to kind of stay up and stay into the wee hours of the night to watch this game in Denver, a lot of people are kind of pegging this as a potential finals preview. Lived up to the billing for the most part. It was Kristaps Porzingis and Jason Tatum leading the way for the Celtics, 29-6 for Tatum, 25-11 for Kristaps Porzingis, who almost had to leave the game, came down a little awkwardly on his knee at one point, but was able to stay in the game. Russ led the way for the Nuggets, 26 points, 9 rebounds. Nikola Jokic did not play in the game, so Dario Saric tried to step in his absence in the starting lineup. A donut in the points column, 0 points, 4 assists, and a rebound for the former Sixer, Dario Saric. But the Celtics maintain their great record, only 4 losses on the road, and stay atop the Eastern Conference, kind of in that second place. Let's take a look at the Eastern Conference, see how things have shaken out after yesterday's Sixers. Still in that 11th spot. They seem to be firmly planted 2 games ahead in that 11th spot, but now 2 full games behind the Bulls for that 10th and final play-in spot. We have lost ground. We were at 1 point, a half game out of that spot. We're now 2 full games out of that spot, 2.5 games out of, 2.5 games out of the 7th, the first play-in spot, and also still 2.5 games out of that 6th and final playoff spot from the Miami Heat. So not insurmountable still, right? But 2.5 games back from even clearing the play-in spot. And, you know, it's getting a little tougher to leapfrog these teams. Now 2 full games behind the Chicago Bulls, who are behind the Pistons, who are behind the Pacers, who are behind the Hawks for that play-in spot, those play-in scenarios. So it's going to have to, you know, another win streak. You know, the Sixers just came off of winning 7 out of 10, 8 out of 11 before starting to skid a little bit. They might have to get back to that sooner than later to be able to leapfrog these teams and, you know, get back in a play-in and play-off scenario. Let's take a look at the injuries for tonight because we have some definites and some questionables. Andre Drummond is questionable for tonight with that toe injury still for Wednesday's game. He all of a sudden was made unavailable on Monday. Looked like he was going to be good and ready to go hours before the game, right kind of after shooting around. When we were notified that Joel Embiid wouldn't play, we were also notified that Andre Drummond would not play. Kind of came out of nowhere, but Andre Drummond dealing with that toe injury, also out for tonight's game. Kyle Lowry is going to miss again, missed the second game in a row, dealing with a hip issue, I should say. So he's going to be out for Wednesday's game. And then the not good ones, Joel Embiid and Paul George, both will not play tonight against the Wizards. Paul George won't play, dealing with left groin tightness. And then Joel Embiid will not play dealing with his foot injury, will not play tonight against the Wizards. Nick Nurse was actually asked if Paul George's knee or anything else was bothering him in kind of response to, you know, his lackluster play and him not being able to kind of find his rhythm within the Sixers offense. And Nick Nurse did say that, you know, stuff was bothering him, that there has been kind of some lingering pain. He is day to day. Paul George even acknowledged it himself that he's been trying to play through some things. And, you know, tonight was a good night to give it a rest and to kind of, you know, take some pressure off of that knee, off that left groin, whatever it is that's ailing him and bothering him. He's going to kind of take it off and rest for tonight. Those are the inactives for the Sixers. Let's take a look at the Wizards and see who they have on their injury report. Jordan Poole still listed as day-to-day. He was ruled out for Tuesday's game against the Rockets. Has no official ruling for tonight's game, but he did sit against the Rockets, like I said, with that hip injury. Malcolm Brogdon was out for the Rockets game tonight. We'll see his status for tonight, or the Rockets game last night. We'll see his status for tonight as he's dealing with a foot issue. Kyle Kuzma, who did play, he finished the game against the Rockets, but he's dealing with a calf issue. Finished with 10.6 rebounds and 2 assists. Only played 17 minutes against the Rockets. So they're all listed as day-to-day for, you know, their injuries. So we'll see how Jordan Poole, Malcolm Brogdon, and Kyle Kuzma are for tonight against the Sixers. Johnny Davis was out against the Rockets yesterday, too, as he's dealing with an illness. I don't expect Johnny Davis to be ready on the second night of the back-to-back, but we will see. But injury list kind of full for both the Sixers and the Rockets. So we will see who's ready to play for both of them. Some regular news. For the Sixers, they actually waived Pete Nance. Pete Nance was waived early yesterday for the Sixers. He was brought in after, you know, Joel Embiid, Adebayo, and Andre Drummond were all spending time on the injury report. You know, Joel Embiid's audible and foot fracture. Andre Drummond had sprained an ankle at the time. Adebayo was dealing with a right knee and contusion and impingement. So they brought in Pete Nance to just help with the big man depth. He served his time. He played some time in Delaware with the Bluecoats, and, you know, they let him go. So Pete Nance, thank you for coming and being, being good infantry and being good support and backups and reinforcement for us as we need it. But the Sixers have waived Pete Nance as they figure that their big man situation is a little more kind of figured out. Also, earlier this week on Monday, right before the game, the NBA announced that Sixers guard Jerry McCain, who has been named Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month for games played in October and November leading up to last month. So he was presented that award before Monday's game and, you know, to a big cheering crowd at the Wells Fargo Center. All his teammates were there at center court to dap him up and to appreciate him and give him, you know, his flowers and his congratulations. So it was awesome. Right, he led all rookies with 7 games of at least 20 points and 2 games of 30 plus, including that career high 34 point night against the Cavs on November 13th. He also added a 10 assist night, joining Allen Iverson and Ben Simmons as the only 3 76ers rookies to ever tally at least 30 points and 10 assists in a game. Jared McCain was great. He was one of the small bright spots that the Sixers had before their stars got back healthy with Embiid and Paul George. He kind of kept us in, you know, whatever standing, whatever spot the Sixers were in to keep them from completely bottoming out in the Eastern Conference. So Jerry McCain very much deserved of this Rookie of the Month honors, and hopefully he gets back right. He gets sooner, and this is not the only award that Jerry McCain is awarded as a Philadelphia 76er. So great on Jerry McCain. Nails, as we call him. Congratulations to Nails, and continue to rest up and get back healthy. All right, I'm about to take a break. On the other side of this break, let's get into this matchup with the Wizards tonight. My 3 things to watch for as the Sixers go and take on the Wizards tonight at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Game day on this hump day Wednesday, middle of the week, Sixers morning pod. Appreciate you starting your day with me, man, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast. on Twitter. Time to get ready for the Sixers matchup tonight with the Washington Wizards, 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. I know we're all ready. I know we're all tuned in. Let's preview this matchup with my three things to watch for as the Sixers try and stem the tide now and get back in the winning column after, you know, a few rough outings of it. So tonight, as they go and take on the Washington Wizards, the first thing I'm looking for is no Joel Embiid, no Paul George. So there's one person in particular that needs to come through and needs to shine tonight. That is Tyrese Maxey. Look, Sixers are losers of three of their last four after going on a four-game winning streak. So have to get back, like I said, on the right side of things and right the ship. And we know that Tyrese Maxey this year is someone who, when he has his co-stars, when he has Joel Embiid and has Paul George, he looks electrifying, right? He's won Eastern Conference Player of the Week. While in the midst of it, we've seen him explode for some 40 pieces, some 35 balls, and just look super dynamic. And then when you remove those two players, when you remove either Joel Embiid or Paul George, or the rare time where you've had to remove both of them and it's just Tyrese Maxey in the starting lineup, that's when we see the production dip significantly for Maxey. I don't want to see that tonight. We have a team in the Washington Wizards who has five wins on the season, right? We have a team in the Washington Wizards who might not even have their best player in Jordan Poole, who was not available last night in their back-to-back. You know, you have a team in the Washington Wizards who let up some of the highest three-point percentage shooting in the league, let up with some of the highest scoring averages in the league, right? A team whose guards, we shouldn't be looking to lock down Tyrese Maxey. They have Bilal Coulibaly, who a couple of people are kind of high on over there in Washington, especially on the defensive end. Not for the NBA's most improved player, though, right? Not from someone who last season was widely recognized in the NBA as taking the biggest leap in the association, right? That's Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey should go in tonight, Jordan Poole or no Jordan Poole, as the best player on the floor for both teams. And I really need him to play like that from the start. This isn't a game where, you know, Reese can, in my opinion, ease into it, right? There's no one to play off of. There's no one to kind of go and get their shot first and get yourself in a rhythm within the game that way. We're going to have to come out. We're going to have to hunt our shot early. We're going to have to get in rhythm early. We're going to have to establish tempo early. And Maxey is going to have to be the catalyst for other guys like Yabusele, for Kelly Oubre, for Caleb Martin, for those guys to step up, step in, and play well, right? So that's what I'm looking for. First and foremost is Tyrese Maxey is going to be the best player on the floor tonight. I need him to look head and shoulders like the best player on the floor tonight, right? Eighth in the association for, or maybe sixth, I'm sorry, in the association for Eastern Conference guards for all-star voting. I need you to prove those people right and even move up maybe the ladder a little bit. Let's have a good performance tonight against the Washington Wizards. Second thing I'm looking for is we talked about and highlighted Kelly Oubre a couple of games ago and how well he's been playing. That is still continuing as to right now. Kelly Oubre has been a huge bright spot for the Sixers over the last handful of games or so. You've heard Nick Nurse talk about it. You've heard his teammates talk about it. And then on Monday against the Suns, 38 minutes played and 26 points and 11 rebounds was the second leading scorer for the Sixers. Before that, he had a string of three games that he missed because of a hand injury. Before that, 15 points against the Trailblazers in an eight steal performance. So the last two or three games for Kelly Oubre have been great. With no Paul George, no Joel Embiid tonight, Kelly Oubre kind of goes back into that role that we found him in the very beginning of the season, where maybe he was out of place, right? Maybe he was out of position. Maybe he was bumped up a peg more than he should have been. And that production doesn't happen when Kelly Oubre is kind of the second most important player on offense. But we can't help the positions we get put in sometimes, right? We cannot help that when our other two stars are out, that we look for guys like Yabusele and Kelly Oubre, like I just mentioned, to pick up the slack and pick up the scoring. We know it's in there from K9. We know it's in there from KO. He just has to be able to do it, right? I don't love the three-point shooting, right? He's only hit 1 3 in the last 6 games, right? So that is going to have to significantly increase. But I got 11 rebounds against the Suns. I got 8 steals against the Trailblazers. I got 8 rebounds against the Celtics on Christmas. Like, we've gotten very good stats and very good production from Kelly Oubre across the board in places. Tonight is going to have to be a night where, like the Suns, you look up in the box score and you see Kelly Oubre impacting the box score, impacting the scoring, being a focal point for the team on offense, right? Not like Kelly Oubre can always go get his own shot, but it seems that Kelly is always confident in his shot. So we're going to have to see that again tonight. And, you know, we're really going to have to see him kind of pick up the slack and hopefully aid towards a victory and help Tyrese Maxey out in the scoring output. All right, the last thing I'm looking for as the Sixers go and try to get a win tonight against the Washington Wizards is really just trying to improve from the free throw line. Sixers aren't terrible, shooting about 77% from the free throw line, ranking about middle of the pack, 16th in free throw shooting this year. But it hasn't always been great, right? There have been times where they've left a lot of points on the board from the free throw line. We even go to Monday's game, and you look 16 of 26 from the free throw line, 61% from the free throw line. There's been way too many games where the Sixers have had that kind of output from the free throw line, right? They were better against the Nets on Saturday, shooting about 80, but especially in their losses. Their losses, they have looked, you know, really terrible from the free throw line. And we have a team in the Washington Wizards who give up, you know, kind of a lot of free throws, who are going to foul you, who are going to send you to the free throw line, right? They last night allowed the Pelicans to take, I believe, 25 free throws, right? And the game before that, you know, they've had a lot of situations where, I mean, I saw the Rockets, they allowed the Rockets to take 25 free throws. The game before that against the Pelicans, they allowed the Pelicans to take above 20 to 25 free throws as well. So there's going to be opportunities. Wizards are going to send you to the line, right? We don't have two of our best free throw shooters in Joel Embiid, who's an excellent free throw shooter, and Paul George, who statistically is one of the best free throw shooters in history over a course of a career, if you look at his free throw shooting numbers, right? So that will hurt the Sixers a little bit, but they're free points, and you can't leave them at the line. Hopefully it doesn't come down where tonight is a game where, you know, missing 2 or 3 or 4 free throws is a deciding factor in the game, where you come to the end of it and you say, man, if they had those 4 points, this game looks a lot differently. But from the same standpoint, good teams make free throws, right? Good teams take free points when you give it to them. You can't have multiple games where you're shooting 60, 70% from the free throw line, right? They're going to have to get above, you know, that 75 to 80% range consistently as a team for it to look good. So while they're, like I said, not at the bottom of the NBA in free throw shooting, I don't love seeing 16th in the association either. So a team that's going to put you on the free throw line tonight in the Washington Wizards, I need the Sixers to go, how about 80% as a team? Right, I know usually you ask for about a 70% mark as a team. How about an 80% mark as a team? Right, I want to see a good free throw shooting team, not just an average free throw shooting team. But those are my 3 things to watch for tonight. Maxey being the best player on the floor, as he should be tonight against the Wizards. Kelly Oubre bumping back up into a very important role, and he's been playing well the last couple of games. I want to see him do that. And the Sixers shooting well from the free throw line. I'm tired of seeing the Sixers leave free points off the board and it kind of hurting them and being a thorn in their side in these games. It's 7 p.m. tonight at the Wells Fargo Center to take on the Washington Wizards. The Sixers go for a win to try to, you know, get the ship right a little bit, start making their way back into the thick of things in this Eastern Conference. Hopefully tomorrow morning I'm reporting about a win, but until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.